Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Welcome back to another edition of Real Answers with Christopher Anderson. Wednesdays during the Noon Report, we tackle the tough topics facing today's families with licensed mental health counselor Christopher Anderson. And Chris, what a semester it has been for all of the school-age children, including and possibly especially college students.
Yeah, that's for sure, Brandon. I mean, we definitely have been really in uncharted territory here, like you said, especially for our colleges and universities.
So what are some of the challenges that the higher ed institutions have had to address?
One of the major hurdles for our brick-and-mortar schools has been developing a comprehensive plan for maintaining some sort of normalcy during this pandemic. And though this doesn't sound surprising, of course we would have to do that, there were so many intricacies that it really overwhelmed a lot of staff on many college campuses, especially the student affairs staff. Definitely every time you turned around, there was some new consideration, which then would change all the other considerations. It was just an ongoing, constant battle to keep up with the things that we were learning about this pandemic and the things that we needed to learn and what did we need to do to actually maintain some sort of a normalcy for the students that are coming to college to have a social experience in addition to their learning experience as well. So colleges partnered with county health departments to manage the pandemic locally as best as they possibly could with these rapidly changing circumstances.
And I'm assuming this is going to continue into the spring semester.
Yes, absolutely. And if there are any college administrators listening right now, your local health departments need to be your best friends right now going into the spring semester. Again, this semester will be starting at the peak of normal flu season as well. So, of course, every sniffle, every cough will be suspect this year, even though there will be a high likelihood that those sniffles and coughs are going to be due to a cold or a non-COVID-19 flu case. But being able to determine which is which and how to handle that is going to be quite a task for not only our colleges, but also our health departments going forward into this upcoming winter.
Now that we have a few months to look back on this, what lessons have been learned during this past fall?
Good question. And of course, that question alone could make this segment go on for hours. But in a nutshell, I'll try to do my best here. I think there are lessons that we learned that were very specific to both the processes of operating a university during a pandemic, but also lessons on more of an individual basis in terms of coping and what do we have it in ourselves to get through a tough situation like this. But, you know, I think I'll just stick to the theme of today's segment, and that is looking at the overall operations of the university. And like I said before, schools need to work very, very closely with county and state health departments. So if you think about it, students that attend universities and colleges in person, they're coming from all over the country and the world, really, and obviously could be potentially bringing the virus to one concentrated area, that college campus, where you're concentrating many different folks in one spot. So many schools opted to require pre-arrival COVID tests. But managing the influx of all these test results, which many times are submitted via a screenshot on someone's phone, turned out to be very difficult. I mean, there were a lot of problems with that collection process that I won't get into. So in response to that, I would encourage schools that are maybe requiring tests or that have a certain set of return procedures to start messaging out to students right away what they're going to require in January. Because there may be different arrival times, and there might be different groups of students arriving at different times that they'll need to be aware of that. And it's also very important to make sure that students know to check their email, other postal mailings, listservs, whatever modes of communication that the schools are using to communicate with their students. Parents, I strongly recommend that you get your students to check their campus emails every single day, because you don't know, as soon as campuses receive word from Albany or Harrisburg or one of the counties, they're going to be sending out that information to try to keep parents and families updated as much as possible. We encounter a lot of problems when students tell us, well, I just don't ever check my email. Well, there's the problem right there. So that is a very, very important that students are checking their communications daily to find out what the latest is. But I also think that we learned that college students, being the social creatures that they are, that there's only so much that we can do to prevent breaking the social rules right now. They really need to toe the line with this. In other words, college administrators need to enforce those social rules, even though we often hear the excuse, well, you know, they're college students just being college students. Well, at this point, under these circumstances, that's a hard excuse to throw out there, okay? So parents, sit your students down, tell them that you will be supporting whatever decisions are being made by the administrations to protect their campuses, because we got to keep in mind, these administrators are not only protecting their campuses, they're protecting the college towns in which the employees have their families. So lots riding on this right now.
Once again, you've been listening to another edition of Real Answers with Christopher Anderson. It airs Wednesdays during the Noon Report. We tackle the tough topics facing today's families with Christian counselor Christopher Anderson.